Man, where does the time go? I tell you, I have, as I was considering things were rolling around in my mind about what to teach, what to share, and the Lord always give me something, and I looked back in the archives, and there's something that I hadn't taught in 5 years. And I'm like, what? How's it been 5 years? And I believe it's an on-time word for us. It's going to answer some questions today for some of you that are wondering, why are these things happening to me? I can't seem to get the victory over something, and it just seems like things are just persistent, and these things are continuing to come against me. I'm facing a lot of things that I just can't get past. I just can't overcome. Well, you're going to get some answers today. This may be your answer. Now, there's different reasons, but why we all go through things. I understand that. But if you don't have the victory, this may be why. So we're going to deal with that. And last week, I want to bring back to you what I shared last week about, I want to tell the whole story about how Arnold Palmer was given by the king of Saudi Arabia a golf club. And he was told he was going to get a golf club, but he thought it was just going to be a stick, a club that you hit with. But yet the king gave him a deed to a 500-acre golf club. Okay, so a golf club is property to build a golf course on. Yeah. All right. So what is this? This is the, what's the point of this? The king thinks different. And so today I want your thoughts to be, I'm just introducing this, but this week my assignment to you is to think like a king. If you think like a king, you will act like a king.
Yes, that's good.
One of the things that I thought when I was sitting over there, wouldn't you think that the last things that Jesus would say before he left the earth, after he was here for 3.5 years, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came down, dwelt among us in the flesh. After 3.5 years, don't you think that the last things that he would say would be very important? Wouldn't you think? I mean, his final words. And in his final words, he gave authority to man. And that authority is for us. It's for the believer. So today I want to talk about the believer's authority. God in his grace has given us authority. We're going to talk about what we have authority over. How many of you, if you came home from church and you saw a U-Haul in your driveway, and they're carrying out your stuff, are you going to help them? They're carrying out your television, your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, your furniture, your dining room table, your kids or your pictures of your family. They're bagging them all up, taking them out. Are you going to say, oh, can I help you? You're going to feel some kind of way, right? Huh? You're going to call the authorities. You're going to do what you got to do to get them to stop. Right? Well, that's how we have to feel about the things that have been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's good. That's good. That's really good.
We have been given exceeding great and precious promises. Your healing is a finished work. Talked about that last week. Your prosperity is a finished work. And there are certain things, now I mentioned before about people want to know why things are happening to them. Sometimes things are happening to people is because they just sit there and let the devil drive back up his U-Haul into your life and start to steal your joy, steal your peace, and steal your finances, and steal your health, steal your children while you just watch it. And feel like you don't have nothing that you can do. And sometimes we don't need to pray. We need to use our authority. Sometimes we're praying when we should be using our authority. So I'm going to show you how. And I'm going to make sure that I'm very clear. All right? Because God is able. And we know that. But God is not going to do what he told you to do. And we're going to look at these scriptures, but just a sneak peek. He's given you authority over all the power of the enemy. What do I have authority over, Pastor? Anything that steals, kills, or destroys. Because that's all the devil is about, stealing, killing, and destroying. He don't care nothing about Muslims. He don't care nothing about Jews. He don't care nothing about the Russians. He don't care nothing about the Ukrainian people. He don't care nothing about the Democrats. He don't care nothing about the Republicans. Oh, he's about stirring up stuff among all these peoples and parties and things of that, because so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. That's his bottom line. To try to take from you. And as believers, we can't just sit back and just say, oh, wow, this sure is bad out there. We're not going to let the devil come in and take our stuff.
Right, exactly.
I haven't said this in a long time, but I said a while back, I'm going to bring it back to you. Somebody cross your legs and say, I'm in charge. Amen. Because listen, we've been given authority. One of the things I learned early on when I came into the Word of Faith, I learned Luke 10:19. We have been given authority over all the power of the devil. But you got to use your authority. Amen. Authority defined, it's a state of control over something. In other words, I'm in charge. God put you in charge. Yeah. A state of control over something, a state of control over something. And let's just throw this out all of religious people. They always want to talk about, well, God's sovereign. You got to be careful now. Taking authority over sickness and disease and that type of stuff and thinking that you can be healed. You better ask God if it's his will. Now, I dealt with that last week, but let me bring it back to you. It's not only about healing, but about all of his promises. All of his promises. Okay, check this out. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 1:20, I believe. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Amen means so be it. So if you find a promise, it's already yes. So the sovereignty of God, what people are saying, what they mean by that is, God is in control. And ultimately, he is in control, okay? But God, who is in control, gave us authority on this earth, okay? He's given us authority. Now let's get into the scripture. It's cool for me to say these things, but I want you to see it in the word for yourself. Never take things just because a preacher says it. Make sure you can find it in the word. See, people throw out all these terms and they sound good and, oh, God is sovereign. You can't make God heal you. You can't make God prosper you. Hey, newsflash, he already did. He already healed you. He already prospered you. It's a finished work. It's up to us to claim what's ours. You know, there's billions of dollars in unclaimed funds. It's got people's name on it. Yeah, the government's got money that belongs to people with their name on it, but nobody has claimed it. It's got their name on it. Isn't that something? Even though it's got your name on it, you can't say, well, you know, the government's is sovereign. If it's the government's will, I'll get it. If it's not, I won't. No, you got to go claim it.
That's good. That's good. Yep.
Go get it. Amen. Matthew 10:1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. This is really cool because what he's doing is he's training us right now. He's training them because they're going to train us. They're going to pass it on, right? He wasn't just wasting his time. He could have died in a week. He spent 3.5 years showing them how to live this life. He was never sick. He was never broke. When they didn't have enough to feed the, I don't know how many thousands of people, they said 5,000 men, one case, two times. One case, 4,000 men. Another case, 5,000 men. Didn't include the women and children. Could have been 10, 15,000 people out there. The disciples like, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these people? He said, you give them something. He said, well, all we got is this two-piece fish dinner. And he multiplied. Yeah, see, Jesus thinks like a king. Huh? They thinking like, oh, man. Oh, wow. What are we going to do? Huh? But Jesus, he don't think that way. What's your assignment this week? We're going to think like a king. We're going to walk into a situation and people will be chirping. How many know people chirp on a job? See news, absorb news, speak news. You know the news, it's never changed. It's always bad news. Anything positive on TV gets canceled.
Right.
Yeah. They gotta have some drama. Huh? Reality shows gotta have drama in it. Huh? Because people feed off of that. People love negativity. We the church, we different. We the light. And you watch, people are going to be drawn to you because you think different. You think like that king in Saudi Arabia, man. He's thinking big. Man, we think big. We like, okay, in every crisis, there's opportunity. You know, more millionaires came out of the Depression than any other time because there's some people, they're looking for opportunity. On the dark side, criminals look for opportunities, don't they?
Yes.
Now, this is probably a bad example. But you know, when like when stuff's going on or whatever, they looting. Taking advantage of a situation. They think about how they can scheme and how they can get over, and they looking for bad opportunities. At the church, man, we have the Spirit. Think about what we have. We have the Spirit of God, and we have the wisdom of God, and Jesus has given us authority. He left us with authority. And he said, I'll never leave you. Huh? We sang a song today. He won't let go. So he sent them out. One time he sent out 12. Another time he sends out 70. He gave them authority. He called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. What was he doing? He's prepping them for when he's going to leave. Right. See, the power comes from God. It's just like in this room, when we walk in here, it's dark. I mean, the people that open up this building, Shemaine and whoever it is, David, whoever it is, when they come in here, they don't even think about, man, I wonder, are we going to have lights? Right. They can come in here and say, Pastor, it's dark. I'm like, did you turn the lights on?
Right.
Did you flip the switch? Yeah. See, there's switches. All over the place. We got all kinds of switches. Now, the power don't come from us here.
Yeah.
The electric company supplies the power.
Yeah, exactly.
But we got to flip the switch.
Yeah.
God provides the power.
Yes, that's good.
That's in his grace. He's given us the power. Now, the authority, using the authority that we have, is flipping the switch. When the U-Haul is backed into your driveway, flip the switch. When the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, flip the switch. You have authority to tell him to stop. The police officer doesn't have any power over 18-wheel truck. You ever see the police standing out there? Do you run him over? No. He has the power of the badge, the city of Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, whatever the case may be, is behind him. And when he puts his hands out and he's directing traffic, he's telling you to stop, you better stop.
Right.
And he's not out there scared either because he's got a badge on. And that badge represents authority. Amen. You imagine a police officer, they tell him, okay, I want you to go and direct traffic. I want you to go in the middle of the street. Like, man, no, I ain't going out there. Shoot, I'm scared. That's silly, isn't it? He understands. He got that uniform on. He got that badge on. All right? God supplies the power, we flip the switch. Luke 10:19, I referenced this before. Behold, I have given you authority to tread or walk on serpents and scorpions and over all, say all the power of the enemy and nothing. Love this statement. Love this. Nothing shall hurt you. You got the victory. But use your authority. I will give you Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Would you turn that clock on? You can just keep it where it is. It'll give me some kind of reference here. Thank you, Lord. I will give you, say you.
You.
That's me. Say me.
Me.
I will give you the keys. You know, keys represent authority. Hmm? If you got car keys, how many got car keys? You drove a car, you got keys, okay? You can go out in your car after church and sit there till next week. Right? Your car got the power on the inside of it, take you home. But unless you use those keys, not going to do you any good. We got the keys of the kingdom. What are you doing with these keys? Whatever God binds on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever God looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Is that what it says?
Yes.
No.
No.
I got you. No, this is very important. Not whatever God binds, whatever you bind. The word bind, it means to stop or refuse to allow. Whatever you refuse to allow. So why did God allow this to happen to me? Maybe you allowed it. It's not about God allowing. Well, I know God didn't make me sick, but he allowed it. Well, what do you mean by that? God allows everything. If you go and rob a bank, he'll allow it. You can't say, well, God allowed it. You went in there and robbed that bank. God allows everything. He gave us the authority. You allowed it. He gave you the authority over sickness and disease. When these demons messing with me, these demons... Just tell them to stop. You have the authority.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know why God is allowing my finances to be stolen. You are allowing it. Use your authority. Call your finances into existence. Call those things that do not exist as though they did. Think like a king. If you think like a king, you're going to talk like a king. You're going to act like a king because you is the king. Somebody cross your legs and say, I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
All right. Amen. Whatever. You stop. No, devil, you're not stealing my finances no more. Some of y'all are going to go home and say, you stand in the middle of your house and say, devil, you are not stealing my money no more. You're not stealing my health no more. You can't have my children. My children are off these drugs in the name of Jesus. I call in the finances, whatever you need, you call it in, whatever amount of money. I call that amount of money in right now in the name of Jesus. If you need $1,000, I call that $1,000. I call in $1,000 in Jesus' name. I loose my money. Whatever you loose on earth, is that what it says? Whatever you, not whatever God, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You talk about this prosperity gospel. There's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. There's just the gospel. Just so happens the finances is included in your package. You ever heard a story about God, true story about God went on that cruise? And he bought a ticket to go on a cruise. And he brought a little bag with him of cheese and crackers to last him for that week of cruise. And he would never show up for dinner with everybody else, because on a cruise, you eat all the time. There's always food. You can get it coming to your room. You can go dine at particular times. Eating all the time. But this, not this guy. He's in the corner while everybody's dining, eating cheese and crackers. The last day of the cruise, the captain came over to him, said, "I noticed you never come in and dine with everybody else." "Well, you know, I just brought in this bag of cheese and crackers to last me for the week. I couldn't afford the food. All I could afford was my ticket, my cruise ticket." He said, "Sir, when you bought your ticket, the food just came with it. You can eat all you wanted. It's included in the package." This guy been eating cheese and crackers all week and didn't realize that all this great food, lobster tail, filet mignon, and pasta, chitlins, chitlins on the cruise. But all this great food was included. And he didn't take advantage of it because he didn't know. And a lot of folks, they don't know that Jesus on the cross took your poverty. He became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And rich means abundant provision and a full supply. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to live the abundant life. Amen. You can flip this and say, whatever you don't bind on earth won't be bound in heaven. Whatever you don't loose on earth won't be loosed in heaven. See, whatever you bind and loose, heaven will back you up in it. See, the power has already been supplied. Using your authority, you tap it into that power. You got all heaven in back of you. Matthew 18:18, truly I say to you, this couple chapters over, right? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's on you. What did Jesus say before he left the earth? Look at Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Believing is what makes the whole new covenant work. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. In my name. In my name. We'll get to that. But they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is authority, y'all. Giving us authority, right? That in his name will cast out demons, speak with new tongues, so forth. Lay hands on the sick. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. He's not going to do it for you, but he's going to work with you. And confirmed the message by accompanying signs. If you compare this to This is the Great Commission. You compare it to Matthew 28. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. When you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. He said, go therefore. Go therefore. Why? The previous verse. All authority has been given unto me. So now you go. Authority, watch this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Watch this. He ain't on the earth. Authority, two places, in heaven and on earth, Jesus said, has been given to me. But he went up to be seated at the right hand of the Father, right? He's in heaven. We're on the earth. Authority in heaven is for him. Authority in the earth is for us. We are the body of Christ. He's the head. The head is in heaven. We're the body. The body's on the earth. Amen. Jesus put, Ephesians 1 says, he's the head of the church, which is his body. And he said, all things have been put under his feet. The feet are in the body. So if all things are under Jesus' feet and the feet are in the body, that means all things are under your feet. That means sickness is under your feet. Yes. Poverty is under your feet. Yes. Fear is under your feet. Yes. Point to your bottom of your shoes. Okay, your feet, see? Satan is in defeat. Right. Poverty is in defeat. Sickness is in defeat. Yes. Yeah. It's under your feet. Let's talk about the power of attorney. Don knows more about this than I do, but I'm going to take a stab at it. See, the power of attorney, yeah, it's very common in law practice. Don's an attorney, and the power of attorney basically is a person appointed to act for another. Now, I want you to listen to the statement. I want you to think about it. What's the value? Say value. The value. The value of the power of attorney, the value of the power of attorney depends upon how much there is in back of it. In other words, how much authority and how much power does this name represent? And what am I talking about? We have authority in the name of Jesus, but what's in the name? That's what I'm getting to. What is in the name? What's the value? How much power and how much authority does the name represent? Sometimes, myself included, we quick to flip out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But it only, let me find the right words to say this. You got to know the value of it in order for it to mean something to you. If you really know what power and what authority, like that policeman know that when he stand out there in that street, he got the city of Fort Worth, somebody try to say, man, get up out the street. He can call on somebody because he got the city in back of him. He knows what the badge represent. So when you say in the name of Jesus, do you really know what it represent? How much power and how much authority that you have? It's based on how much power and how much authority that's in back of that name. You got all heaven in back of that name. We just read it. Whatever you bind and loose will be loose where? In heaven. Heaven's some kind of place, man. And that's where positionally we're seated. Man, I'm feeling this, Jermaine. Goodness. So, I'm going to close with talking about, time slipping away. So, why Jesus' name is great? I think we can finish this real quick. There's three reasons why a person's name is great. One, you can inherit a great name. Or you can have a great name given to you or conferred upon you. Number two. Number three, you can earn a name, a great name, because of your accomplishments. You may have been born with nothing, but yet because of your accomplishments, you've earned a great name. Well, Jesus' name is great because of all those three things. One, he inherited a great name. Hebrews 1:1-4, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Man, he's the one backing us at the right hand of the Father. Oh, my goodness. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name. Say the name. He has what? Inherited is more excellent than theirs. So Jesus inherited a great name. Number two, a great name was conferred upon him. Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, see, God, what he gave him, name was given or conferred to him. You have some people who, like the guy who was in the Beatles, and was the name of it, Sir Paul McCartney. Now he's Sir, because that Sir Paul McCartney. Why? Because they gave him in England, they gave him a name, they put Sir behind it. And that means something. Yeah. Okay? He didn't inherit it. But that name was given to him. Well, we're talking about Jesus now. He was given a name that's above every name, that at his name every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Third reason why a person's name is great is because of their achievements. What did Jesus do? He defeated the devil. Hebrews 2:14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared it in their humility, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all rule. Jesus was risen from the dead, if you read the context. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Yeah. 1 John says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy in that context means to take the handcuffs off. He took the handcuffs off of us. Because of his achievements on the cross. Last scripture, John 14:13-14. I want to close with sharing with you what the expression in his name. When you say in the name of Jesus, I want you to be conscious of the fact and build this into your thinking, in your consciousness, that what that means when you say in the name of Jesus. First, let's read this. Whatever you ask, the word ask in this context, in this scripture, it means to demand something due. It's not really asking in terms of prayer. It's demanding. When you demand in my name, whatever you demand in my name, this really coincides with Matthew 18 that we read. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose will be bound and loose in heaven. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. So you do, then Jesus do. When you demand something in Jesus' name, you stand on your rights, you demand in his name, he said, this will I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall, the same thing, ask, it means to demand in verse 14. If you ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it. So what does it mean? I'm going to close with this. What does it mean when you say in the name of Jesus, when you use your authority in Jesus' name? You're saying, I expect results, not because of who I am or because of what I have done. I expect results when I use my authority because of who Jesus is and what he has done. That's simple, but it's powerful. When you get this, renew your mind to this, get this into your conscience. Think about what's all in back of that name, how much power and how much authority that name represents. And you say, in the name of Jesus, stop, Satan. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my children. Take your hands off my wife. Take your hands off my husband. Take your hands off my finances in the name of Jesus. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of who Jesus is. And what he has done. Yes. And he has inherited a great name. Yes. He has had a great name conferred upon him. And because of his accomplishments, he's earned a great name. Yes. And all of heaven is in back of that name. Yes. And when you use your authority, all of heaven is in back of you. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Every head, body, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.